Well, good morning. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, if you want to start making your way there. We're going to finish up chapter 7 today. Paul has been dealing with a particular topic, and we'll come back to that in a moment. If you remember, we've talked about Paul starting this church in Corinth in Acts chapter 18. It talks about how Paul travels through. He ends up in Athens for a little while, then eventually goes down to Corinth. He starts the church there. He stays there for a considerable amount of time. Then he moves on. God moves him to another place. And so he leaves this church. But this church has a lot of problems. It's very dysfunctional. It is in a major city that has lots of cultural influences, lots of people coming in and out, lots of paganism, lots of worship of false idols, lots of idolatry and such. And so they're in this midst of this kind of this chaotic world that is there. And so they are trying to be Christians and have all of these competing ideas and these competing belief systems that are all around them. And so Paul is writing to them to kind of talk through that and help them understand how to live out this life of Christianity. And it starts off chapters 1-4. He talks about that there's these different factions and these different groups as being divisive. And Paul says, hey, stop that. We're the apostles are not the apostles are not divided. Christ is not divided. We are all on the same team. Stop being divisive. Stop having this disunity. Be united in Christ. And then 5 and 6, he speaks to the libertines, and he has to deal with those things. And then chapter 7-11, he's answering some questions that he's received. And so this first question or this first idea that Paul is dealing with here in chapter 7, we've been looking at it for the last several weeks, is this group that are saying, it is better or it is best, you are more holy if you live as someone who is celibate. So they are arguing that those who are married should live celibate within their marriage, and that those who have never been married should obviously live celibate and never be married. And so Paul is dealing with that issue. And so in the first few verses of chapter 7, Paul is correcting that idea of people who are arguing that, you know what, it's better for us to be celibate if we're married. And Paul says, don't do that. If you're married, be married physically, be married emotionally, be married in all the different ways, and being someone who has sex is okay. Doesn't make you more holy to be celibate. And then he deals with these other issues of what about those who have been, who are widower? What about those who have been saved and that their spouse is not saved? Should they divorce? So Paul deals with all of that. And you can go back and listen to those sermons online if you want. And we encourage you to. But now Paul is moving on, and he's continuing this idea. It's kind of coming back around to the issue of those who have never been married. What do they do? Should they get married, or should they stay unmarried? Should you get married, or should you stay single? And so Paul is today, he's going to talk about the gift of singleness. Now, I know I look around and I see most people in here, unless they're really young, are not single. And so you're like, well, that ain't me. Well, you're going to come in contact with people who are single. And one of the problems or the issues that single people have, or there's comes in different ways. One is that they see their friends, they see people around them being either boyfriend, girlfriend, they're engaged or they're married, and the older they get, they're like, I'm being left behind. And so they begin to struggle with that, and they have this hardship of I'm not with somebody, I'm not dating, and they don't see singleness as a gift. Or they could have these external, not internal pressures on themselves, but these external pressures like mama and grandma and daddy, saying, so when you going to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend and when you going to get married? I need grandbabies. And so there's these struggles in life of I'm not quote unquote normal if I'm not in a relationship or dating or married. And if you want to get married, if you want to be in a relationship, that's fine. But don't miss out on the gift that is singleness, okay? So you're going to come in contact with people who are single, who may be struggling with this, and you can help them understand. You can go to Scripture with them and say, look, Paul calls singleness a gift. And Paul's even going to encourage it, and we'll talk about that in a moment. So let's read together chapter 7. We'll start with verse 25. He says about virgins. Now, what does he mean by virgin? He means people in general, his audience here, are either people who are of marrying age. Okay? It says, I have no command from the Lord, but I do give an opinion as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Therefore, I consider this to be good because of the present distress. It is fine for a man to remain as he is, that is, single. Are you bound to a wife? Do you seek to be loosed? Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. However, if you do get married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But such people will have trouble in this life. And I'm trying to spare you. And I say this, brothers, the time is limited. For from now on, those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they do not weep. Those who rejoice as though they do not rejoice. Those who buy as though they do not possess. And those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For this world in its current form is passing away. I want you to be without concerns. An unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord. How he may please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but because of what is proper, and so that you may be devoted to the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is acting improperly toward his virgin, if she is past marital age, and so it must be, he can do what he wants. He is not sinning. They can get married. But he who stands firm in his heart, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will and has decided in his heart to keep his own virgin, will do well. So then, he who marries his virgin does well, but he who does not marry will do better. A wife is bound as long as her husband is living, but if her husband dies, she is free to be married to anyone she wants, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, in my opinion. And I think that I also have the Spirit of God. So what in the world is Paul talking about? What is he dealing with? Well, he's talking about the gift of being single. And he's really going to present two reasons why singleness is important or why singleness is there's two issues that are going on that make singleness important. Now, when Paul says, I don't have a teaching from the Lord, or this is my opinion, what he's saying is that Jesus didn't deal with this, and the apostles didn't deal with this in their letters or in our conversations, but I'm going to give you what I think is best. And he goes on to say, and I think it's trustworthy, meaning I think it's good advice. Now, what do we as believers do with this information? Do we say, well, we are to see this as scriptural, or we are to see this as important? Well, because we believe it is part of the New Testament, or the canon, we call it, then we see it as inspired and we see it as scriptural. Even Paul's opinion on this. Now notice Paul's giving an opinion, and he's saying this is good and this is good or better than this. He's not saying that this is a hard and fast rule. Okay? So Paul is saying, I think singleness is better. Why is Paul saying that? Well, again, there's two reasons he points to. The first reason is this. He talks about the present crisis or the present danger. What in the world is he talking about? Is there an imminent danger going on in Ephesus? Is there, in Corinth? Is there some destruction going on? Is there a war going on? Looking back in the history books, no, there's not. And by reading on and what Paul says, what he's talking about in this present crisis, he's talking about day-to-day life as a believer. That his belief is that ministry is so important because Jesus is coming back. Now, there are times when you read Paul's letters, Paul seems to think that it's going to be tomorrow. And then there's times we read in Paul's letters and he's kind of come to the conclusion that it may take a little bit longer. Well, we're reading it 2,000 years later, give or take. And so we know that Jesus didn't come back right away. We would probably know about that. So what is Paul talking about? He's talking about how we live our life with this urgency, with this understanding that Jesus is coming back. It is of utmost importance. It may not be imminent, meaning it may be tomorrow. It may not be tomorrow. There are people who have made projections. They have made guesses. They've all been wrong. Jesus said, don't even worry about the time or date. Just know I'm coming back. And so what Paul is talking about, this present crisis, is we need to live with this urgency, this importance of life of knowing that Jesus is coming back, and people need to know about it. We've become so relaxed in that. We're like, oh, well, they'll hear a televangelist, or they'll come to church eventually, and they can find out about Jesus. Our culture talks about Jesus. We are a quote-unquote Christian nation. And so we've lost that urgency. But folks, people around you are dying and going to hell with a head knowledge of Jesus, but no heart knowledge of Jesus. They don't really know him. They don't have that experience with him. They don't live day to day loving and obeying him. So how do you and I understand this? That we need to live life, whether we are married or unmarried, where we are single or we are devoted to someone else, with a sense of urgency. That you are to live a life that is about spreading the gospel. You are to live a life of going and telling and making disciples. And so Paul's thing is this. Look, in this culture that he's living in and in the culture we're living in, he, as someone who is a missionary of sort, has this missionary urgency, this missionary mindset of we've got to tell, we've got to tell, we've got to tell. And if you're coupled to someone, it creates a whole nother amount of issues. Have a sense of urgency. Use your singleness for God. Use your singleness for the glory of God. Use your singleness to be able to go without strings attached. Use your singleness as to someone who doesn't have to take care of someone else. Use your singleness as a gift and give it back to God. That may be for a period of time. That may be for a whole life. There's two people that I want to mention, and you've probably heard of one. I hope you've heard of one. The other you probably don't know. But there was this woman. She was a short lady. She was from Virginia, and she gave her life away in China. She was known as Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon was a young woman who went on the mission field because of her sister, and she decided that she was never going to get married. She chose singleness because she was able to devote her life to God. And she did it in China as a missionary. She never got married on purpose. She understood the gift of singleness as an opportunity to give her life away for the gospel. Now, I'm not saying if you're single, you're going to be a missionary in a foreign country. Maybe you will. I've worked with missionaries who were single and living in foreign countries. They were able to do it. But she gave her life away to a people and devoted her life to them so that they could hear the gospel and see it lived out in her life. She chose singleness. She understood that she was giving her life to the people for Jesus' sake. The other guy is a man. His name is John Stott. S-T-O-T-T. John Stott was a very inspirational, very important, I would say, preacher in England in the last century. He died in the 2000s, not really long ago. But he was a preacher in London. He was one of the Queen's confidants, actually, and he gave his life to the good news of Jesus Christ. He preached and did ministry, and he's written many, many books. I've got a bunch of them. I've read them. He is a wonderful writer and someone who loved Jesus. And at a time in his life, he was dating someone but decided not to continue the relationship and not to get married. And he decided he's going to choose singleness so that he can devote his life to the gospel. Now, as an Anglican priest or an Anglican bishop, eventually, he's not obligated to that. He wasn't obligated to stay single, but he chose singleness because he wanted to give his life away, and he understood the urgency of the world he lived in. We are really in a post-Christian world, and that those who are single have this opportunity to recognize the crisis of people needing Jesus. And that's, I think, the crisis that Paul is talking about. They need Jesus. And being single lets you give your life away to that. The second thing, or the second struggle that many singles don't have to struggle with, is what he just phrases the troubles of life. And what does he mean by that? He means something like this. If you're a wife, your husband is a trouble. What he means by that is not that your husband's trouble, but rather that you are obligated to take care of him. That you are obligated to make a home for him. And if you have children, you are obligated to raise them. If you're a husband, you're obligated to take care of your wife, to provide for her, to provide for the home financially, and to protect them and provide a home. That if you are a father, then you are obligated to your children to spend time with them and to disciple them and to bring them up in Christ. Children take lots of time. Children take lots of energy. Being married takes lots of time, takes lots of energy. And so Paul calls this the troubles of life, meaning that you've got these obligations as a married man or woman that the single does not. And that the single has the opportunity to take that time and devote it to Christ. They have that energy that they can devote to Christ. Singles will experience less distress and personal difficulty in this hostile world. And that's a gift. If you're single, you're not in a relationship, that's a lot of time and energy and stress and distress that's not in your life. Use that as a gift. Use that time and that energy to be able to devote it to God, to be able to do ministry, to be able to go on a mission trip or to do whatever it is God has called you to do. Also, singles can embrace spiritual matters with fewer secular distractions. Again, the secular distraction is, oh, I've got to make sure supper's ready for my husband and three children, or I've got to make sure that I have time to play with Billy or Susie, or I've got need to make time to spend with my wife so that our relationship is good and well. These things are not bad. Don't hear me saying that. I'm married and got three kids. I'm in it. I love my wife and my three kids. I wouldn't give them up. But there is energy and there is time and there is stuff that you've got to do to make sure that they're okay. I'm in the car an hour away, 2 hours a day so that I can provide for my family, commuting to work. That is some distress that maybe those who don't have a family have to worry about. Maybe they can take a job in a different place in a different time or whatnot. So again, that's my choice. It's not bad, but it is a choice that other folks don't have to make sometimes because they're not obligated. They're not people who have those distractions in their life. Paul ends the section that he has talking about widows and whether or not you should remarry. And he says, if you want to remarry, go ahead and remarry. But it's better if you don't. But if you do get married, make sure it's to a believer. Make it sure that it's to someone who is a fellow believer. And I would argue that it's not just remarry someone who's a fellow believer, but you better marry someone who's a believer in the beginning. And I've said this over the last several weeks, and I'm saying again that if you are in a relationship with someone who doesn't love Jesus and is not devoted to Jesus, I'm not just talking about a head knowledge and such and is just going to appease you for a while, but if you are not in a relationship to someone who is devoted to Jesus and you are a believer, you better get out of it. Before you're married. I'm not saying divorce. That's not what I'm saying. Marry someone who has the same love for Jesus that you do. So what is Paul wrapping this up? What does Paul have to tell us? I think there's three things. We can wrap it up in three words for single people who are struggling with their singleness. The first word is this: rejoice. Rejoice. Thank God for your singleness. Enjoy it to the best of your ability because it is a time in your life when you can do things that others can't. Be glad that you are single here, now, and maybe for the rest of your life. It is a gift. Not only should you rejoice, you should reorient. Redirect your focus. And rechannel your energies, not from I need to get a relationship, I need to date somebody, I need to marry somebody. Reorient that and focus beyond this temporal world. Because again, God calls people to singleness. Being single is not wrong. And the last thing we should do is just relax. Relax. Quit hungering for the grass that's on the other side of the fence. Stay focused on the grass on your side of the fence and the benefits that God has for you where you are. Serve Him in obedience. Grow where you are planted. Now, if you're single now, you know someone who's single now and they're struggling with it, just, it's okay. Singleness is a gift. You can use it for God's glory. It may be temporal. It may be long-term. But being single is not bad. Being single is not sinful. Being single is not wrong. But don't misuse your singleness. Don't misuse this gift that you have. Paul was single. And his opinion is that if you want to serve Jesus with all you have, it's easier to do it if you're single than if you're not. So I don't know where you are. I don't know. Most of you are married, and it's okay. But these are words that you can encourage others with or encourage yourself with if you're not married. Grow in Christ. Be devoted to Him for the rest of your life. Father God, we thank You for relationships, and we thank You for freedom from relationships. That when we can be single, there is a gift there that we can devote ourselves to You. But You offer us as well the gift of relationships. God, I pray that we wouldn't see ourselves as at a deficit or being deficient because we're not married or in a relationship, but that we would also not waste the singleness, this gift You've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.